Welcome to another episode of Podcast, everybody. Today we have an awesome guest that we've been trying to connect to for a while, and because of coronavirus and a lot of interruptions, we just haven't been able to make it work out. And so we're really grateful to finally have the time to speak with our guest today. His name is Brandon Sulzer, and he earned a master's degree in social work from the U of U. He also worked as a counselor at the Neuro Rehabilitation Unit in Salt Lake City, Utah, at the Intermountain Medical Center. And he's also a public speaker and the co-author with Kate Lee of the book We Are All Paralyzed. Brandon, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate being on your guys' podcast.
Awesome.
We're excited.
Yeah, we're really grateful to have you. And if I could just talk a little bit about your book at first, you know, I was given a copy by Kate Lee, and she's friends with my sister, and Kate sent a little message because she has kind of been following our story a little bit. And so she thought that I would find your book helpful. And I'll tell you, man, I don't read books. I'm not a very avid book reader. But I read, I think, the first two pages, and I couldn't put your book down. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's so good.
And I'm really grateful that she gave it to me and that she introduced me to you. And
that's what we really, that's why we wanted to talk to you after reading your book and hearing your story. And
that's
we just were so impressed by you and just everything you shared in your book and your life and how you've gotten through things. And so, yeah, I think for this episode, we really want to focus on your book and how, what made you want to write it. And if you want to, I know, Eddie, you want to break it up a little bit into.
Yeah, I'll interject my two cents because I just feel like as I was reading it, I could relate with a lot of the hardships and situations that you've gone through. And while I don't want to compare myself to you necessarily at all, I just feel like, you know, some of the feelings that you expressed during the book were things that I felt. And I told you this when we spoke earlier, you know, the world just felt a little less small after reading your book, you know?
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm sure as you've probably felt, like when you go through traumatic experiences, sometimes you feel like you're the only one maybe who's dealing with some stuff. And so hearing somebody else who has gone through similar experiences to mine really, I don't know, it really struck me to the core, and I was really grateful to have read your book.
Wow. Well, thank you, Mary and Eddie, for the high praise. I hope I can continue to live my life worthy of it. But but thank you. I'm so glad you enjoyed my book. It's, you know, when I was writing my story with my dear friend Kate Lee, there's a lot in it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ups and downs, and it's emotional, and it's a roller coaster ride. And the more we got into it, the more I was just blown away of seeing God's hand throughout the whole process in my story. And I think if we step back and detach ourselves from, you know, just the everyday struggles that life can be, if you detach ourselves and then look at it from another perspective and see the hand of God in our life throughout the whole process, it just makes you so thankful that we have, you know, a loving Heavenly Father that helps us, guide us through these remodeling stages that we all have to face in life. And I know me and Eddie, we talked a little bit about adversity, and you know it well as well. But the thing I've learned is that we all have these great remodeling opportunities, and the only way that we can succeed is if we accept the Lord's will, and then we act with Him as He creates a better us. And unfortunately, it depends on how you look at it. When we do have adversity, that gives us the opportunity to make a choice. Do I want to be present? Do I want to be a part of this? Or do I want to be paralyzed by it? And so that's kind of the way that I've looked at my life, and And I hope that those who do read the book can see that of how the Lord is in the details. And if we can just find the Lord in the details, he will give us the meaning, he will give us our joy, and he will show us our purpose.
Yeah, awesome.
That's beautiful. And, I love
and
that.
And I love it. There's a phrase, I don't know if you've coined it, but you use the phrase, become better, not bitter.
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of that book, and I love that. It's really easy to become bitter, especially when you're in, like, the thick of it all. And when, you know, in your book, I think we've talked a lot about it so far, and yet we haven't really talked about exactly what's in it. I think if you wouldn't mind kind of sharing the four big events that happen in the book that you talk about, I think that would give a little bit of clarity to the people. And you can share as much as you want, because I want everybody listening to pick up the book and take a read of it, because it is awesome.
Before I guess, let me just preference this. When I talk about my accidents, I don't want anyone to think that I'm, you know, I am the king of bad luck, or you know, I have poor decision making, because that's not the case at all. But it's just the path that I have gone down in my life. So, when I was 12, I was involved in a major traumatic brain injury, mountain biking, and that took about 5 years for me to really speak again. I used to stutter horribly. I've got to do all my math, my spelling, and it was a very trying time. And that was during junior high. And junior high, as we all know, is a very difficult stage for a teen to go through. And then after that, once I felt like I was walking away from the side effects of that, I was 18, and I had just graduated high school, and I was running down a sand hill, and my legs got tangled up, and I dove down the hill awkwardly, and I broke my neck.
Oh my gosh.
Awful. Within seconds, everything that I took for granted in life were taken from me, and I didn't realize that there were great privileges that that I took for granted, you know, being able to move my fingers, being able to get dressed, being able to walk. I know in the book, I mentioned how I learned exactly what my situation was in real time, laying there in the lake as these two ER doctors were diagnosing me and my condition to not only my family, but my girlfriend's family and everyone else on that hill. And it was very humbling. And then,
and right when that happened as well, you couldn't even flip yourself around in the water to breathe, right?
Yeah. It's, you know, when I broke my neck, it felt like a bolt of lightning struck my body, and I did a flip out of the water because I was running so fast, and did a 360 flip out of the water, and it projected me further down into the lake. And Lake Powell, for those who have been there, it's in southern Utah, and it's a beautiful lake, but it's very, very deep. And I started to sink, and yes, I was face down in the water, and I could hear, you know, the crying, the screams of my family, my mom, and it's the worst thing you could ever want to hear before you're about ready to die. And I just thought, I'm going to be carb bait, and this is how I'm going to end my life. I just started shaking my head just to let them know that I'm still alive. And my friend rolled me over, and then that's, you know, when things completely changed. That took a while to overcome. I'm still sitting down, but I can truthfully say that I did overcome it, and that it hasn't paralyzed me. It's actually made me such just a better person. It's made me embrace who I am, even more so than I did back then. And then after that, after I got my master's degree, I froze to death in an ATV accident.
Oh my gosh.
And they tell me, and I'm not sure on this, but all the doctors told me, they told me that I actually hold the record for being the frozen man. I, I was 73 degrees when they found me, and I was brought back to life, and I died. I died on that one, and it was a miracle, and just one of those situations where heaven didn't want me yet. So, you know, it's a miraculous story of how that happened and what happened during that process. And I had some very unique experiences of choosing to right then and there, about ready to leave my body. I mean, that's something that I can talk to your audience about, but it's in the book. And then after that, you know, I recovered and was working as a counselor, and I loved it because I could place what many might perceive as weaknesses as great strengths for others, and because of what I've gone through, and so I loved it. One day I was driving to work, and I was going about 55 miles an hour on the freeway, and a lady in a car hit me head on. And it busted my face, and it had facial reconstruction, and lost my strength in my left arm, and wasn't able to go back to work in time. And so that's kind of a quick, view of what my life has been like. But it's so much more than that, and the lessons that I've learned in it, and between it, and during it, I think are amazing, and will strengthen anyone's soul, and will strengthen their determination, knowing that, you know, it doesn't matter what happens to us. What truly matters is how we react to it. And if we look up, and we look up at the value of who we are through God's eyes, or if we look down and finding our value of what the world tells us our value is, which is all based on our ego. So that's just a, is there anything else you to say about
I'm glad you shared all that. I'm just like, I'm exhausted hearing it. Bless your heart. What stands out to me too, though, is how you got your master's. Like, that's huge. That is a huge accomplishment after suffering all of those traumatic brain injuries and then becoming a quadriplegic. And
are you quadra or paraplegic?
A paraplegic?
Well, hey, Mary, I will take that every second of the day. If you want to call me a paraplegic, I will own that gratefully. I'm actually quadriplegic. So
are you quadriplegic?
Yeah, I'm paralyzed from the neck on down. And
bless your heart.
So I'm a C5, C6, and although I can move my arms, I have limited. I've got feeling below my injury, which is I'm grateful for. But yeah, I'm a quadriplegic.
And you were considered that as well when you finished your master's. Is that right?
Yeah. Ever since I broke my neck, I was. Yep.
I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You are a testament of not giving up. Keep, you know, moving forward and accomplishing goals still when others may think, how were you going to do it? You did it. That is, I'm just in awe by that. It's amazing. Yeah.
Well, you know, what I've learned is, and people have, in fact, a dear friend of mine coined the term for me. She goes, she's like, man, you have bulldog determination. And really, that's really the techniques to our success in life, really. Our determination of...
Hold on, Brandon. We had a small technical error. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Can you repeat that again? What you just... The beginning of your thought. Sorry. You kind of cut out.
Oh, did I? Sorry. Yeah.
That's okay.
Let me know when that happens. That's not a big deal. It might be on my end too.
No worries. But yeah, go on. What you were saying.
I had a friend that, knows my story real well. And she said, you know, Brandon, you have bulldog determination. And it's something that I think I've always had, because I've always had a desire to be who God sees me as. And if you don't know who God sees you as, then you'll be whatever circumstances come your way. And I know, you know, that we have a divine worth, and that we're down here for a purpose. And I know what my eventual outcome is going to be. And as you mentioned with me going to school, I knew that before I could go to school, I had to learn to drive. And learning to drive was almost nearly impossible. The doctors, my parents, everyone thought it was too hard. I want to liken this experience to yourself, because you'll have people that'll talk about, you know, that may not believe in your capabilities, or your life might be so hard that you might just want to give up. But the thing is that once you visually see yourself achieving it, you're already there. And and so it was one day I knew I had to drive because it was killing me. I needed that freedom. I needed to be able to get out of the house and have that freedom. And so I envisioned myself doing it. And by envisioning myself doing it, I did it. And I knew that all that was in between that was just doing it. And so I was always thinking with the end in mind and would assume that feeling of the wish being fulfilled. And that would give me the motivation and the commitment to do it. And so I would go, I bought this truck that I couldn't drive, but I knew I was going to drive it. So I bought this truck. It had nothing in it that I needed. It was just a regular truck, but I love trucks and I thought, okay, I'm going to drive it. And so it literally parked in my parents' garage for 4 months. And I looked at it, and the first time I opened the door, I said, I am going to drive you. You just don't know it yet.
That's awesome.
But I didn't know really what to do. And I just knew I was going to do it. And so I researched it and I found equipment that I thought could work, and it was installed, and you know, all this course costs money. And so I'm throwing money into a project that many people didn't think would work, would pan out. And it was, I guess you could say it was a risk, but I had all the faith in the world that of my ability that I was going to do it. And I persisted. I persisted until I accomplished the goal. And at the very end, and this is in the book, you know, it's I'm almost about ready just to say, okay, maybe this isn't going to work after 4 months. And I am all alone in the garage, and I'm giving it one last go. And my problem was that I couldn't transfer from my wheelchair to the driver's seat, and the driver's seat that actually would come out of the truck and lower down, so it's side by side by my wheelchair. I didn't have enough strength to transfer my bottom half over my wheels to sit on the chair. And so out of frustration, I leaned my head against the driver's side door. And as I did that, my wheels started to roll backwards, and it freaked me out because I knew that I was eventually going to fall out of my chair. And it was rolling backwards slowly, and I couldn't stop it, but something did, and it suddenly stopped, and I was leaning so far over that I thought, you know, this is crazy to be leaning this far over. I thought for sure I'd fall out of my chair, but I didn't. And that's where I found my balance point, was all in the manner in which my head was going. And what was interesting about that is during the whole process, I was deep in prayer saying, Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, show me a way that I can do this. And I knelt my head down in prayer. And that's when my wheelchair started to roll backwards. And that's when I found my balance point. And I think with anything in life, when we get so overwhelmed, you got to always ask yourself, where is your head going? Is it going towards your fear, or is it going towards your faith? And at the very end, I did everything I could do. I envisioned it. I had faith in my ability to do it, and I persisted. But even that wasn't enough. And at the very end, the only thing I could do was just bow my head in humble prayer and ask my Heavenly Father, please show me the way. And he did. And it changed the way I looked at life ever since after that.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah, and I love that it took basically like a position of humility to find that balance point. And there's so much symbolism even in that, when you didn't intend for there to be symbolism, but I love that symbolism of bowing your head. And that's when you can get the help that you need.
Yeah. Where your head goes, your body always follows.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yep.
Yeah. One of the parts of your book that for me, it kind of made me mad in the sense that I can feel those feelings. And it's in the epilogue where you talk about the first couple companies that you sent the manuscript of for the book, and their reply to you was, there's no happy ending, basically. So we don't want to publish this book. And for me, like, I just wanted to be like, dude, listen to this guy's story. His story is the happy ending because he's been able to get through it all. And also because I've been writing a book of sorts about my experiences through my trial. And that's been the biggest reason why I haven't finished my book yet, is because I've been thinking to myself, like, I want it to end on like a positive, happy, uplifting note. Yeah. And so once again, you know, there's another similarity that I'm, you know, like, it's just something that I struggle with internally. And then hearing somebody else vocalize that to you just kind of ticked me off. But I'm really glad that somebody finally had enough brains to publish that manuscript, because it's an amazing book.
Yeah. And I mean, I appreciate that. And if we're truthfully honest within ourselves, we are still writing our happy endings.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, yeah, of course they want a happy ending, but you know what? I haven't gotten it yet. I'm it's on its way. It's just, but the happy ending, it should be, at least for the book, it's being patient enough to wait.
Yeah.
And being patient enough to plan and to follow the Lord's path to achieve it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I completely agree with you there, because a lot of times in this life, there are going to be things that may not come to fruition that we deserve and that are right for us to have. But in the life to come, that's when everything will be restored to us that we have earned and that we need and that is truly important to us.
I agree. I compared it once in a chapter to climbing mountains, right? And I mentioned that I'm still climbing mine, but where we live, mortality is the time to climb mountains, and we don't reach the peak necessarily in this life. We're still climbing. We're still bettering ourselves, you know, in the life to come. But as long as we are pushing forward, that's all that matters. It's the direction in which we are heading. That's a happy ending, because if you're moving forward, you know you're going to have a happy ending regardless of when it happens.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, a lot of times the way I like to look at it is, imagine the thing you wanted the most in elementary school. And when you were in elementary school, it was super important for you to get that thing. And whether you got it or not, in the long term, now that you're bigger and older and you've had more life experiences, the thing you probably wanted back then isn't as important to you now as the things you enjoy and you have received at this time. And so I kind of look at that as, you know, in this lifetime, there may be something we really want and we feel like we need, but we just need to trust in the Lord that in the eternal scheme of things, if we have to wait until the life after this one to get what we want, that it's okay.
Yeah.
And that the Lord will provide and will help us get to that point where where we'll become whole in our desires.
Yeah. And I agree with that. And the longer I've been sitting down and gone through all these trials is that I've realized that happiness isn't something that we chase after. it's something that we have within our soul.
Yeah, like, yep. That's so true.
Like, if we think happiness is, oh, if I reach this point, then I'll be happy. No, because you can get that point and you're going to say, oh, I got to reach that other point. And it's going to be based upon circumstances, and happiness doesn't work like that. Happiness comes from the focus of our lives. The focus of our lives and embracing who we are determines our joys.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's so true. Like, happiness is an internal thing, not an external. And it's only something we can control.
Something I have been thinking of, just, you know, as I'm listening to both of you talk, and who both of you have both gone through so many things physically. Brandon, obviously, there is no comparison with anything, but with Eddie, with his brain cancer and everything he's had to deal with that has come with that, you know, it's, and I may have told this to you when we first spoke, but it's because of your vulnerability, it's been such a gift for Eddie, because with Eddie, you know, he has a lot of physical things that he does deal with, certainly not to your extent, but there's some things that, you know, in your book, Eddie could really, really relate to. And so the reason I'm sharing this is because it, you know, the whole point of Praiseworthy, this podcast, is to just encourage more vulnerability, because it brings people together and it helps people get through whatever they are getting through, especially when they see someone else who is going through a challenge and they're, you know, they're having success with it and they're getting through it. It's such a blessing. And so I just am so grateful for how vulnerable you are, because it has blessed Eddie. I mean, Eddie, Brandon, I will be honest with you. Eddie doesn't cry. I mean, there has been moments in our life, obviously, where he has cried with losing McKaylee and our miscarriage, you know, all in his cancer, he doesn't cry often, but after reading your book, he was incredibly emotional. Oh, because
love you, brother. I love
and I'm gonna get emotional even sharing this, but he really felt like he could, sorry, I'm so emotional, that he could connect to someone who has, you know, is going through something and is able to explain himself in a way that Eddie could relate with. When, you know, maybe other people who are going through things, you know, maybe Eddie could relate with them, but either they're not vulnerable, so Eddie doesn't know, or maybe, you know, there just isn't, I don't know, maybe the way they would explain it or something. I don't know. But
yeah, it was a little bit different. But like, for instance, one of those things is when you were talking about the traumatic brain injury, and then you talked about how stimulation affected you at that time, and how, you know, like you would feel sensory overload, I guess. Yeah. I forget the exact phrasing you used, but yeah. I experienced that a lot, especially with our three children who are biological noise machines. And so being around them, like, will literally change the pressure in my head and make my ears clog up. And
he goes into, and I don't even know if you like when I call it this, but he kind of goes into a zombie mode. That's what I call it, because it's kind of like everything around him is not non-existent. He just kind of checks out, and maybe not purposely or purposely at the same time. And that's obviously okay. But yeah, that was one of the things that you really could relate to. So Brandon, as his wife, I just am so grateful for you, because you really you've helped Eddie in so many ways, and I'm just so grateful for you. You're amazing.
Well, Eddie, it means the world to me, and me and you are brothers in faith, and
absolutely.
You know, I like being vulnerable. I'm not perfect. I still cry on a daily basis. Because life is tough. There's no getting around it. But you know, but it's the tears that water my soul that enables me to grow. And it's, you know, it can be a beautiful thing if you don't reach out into anger, but you reach out in your faith. And you guys have done a great job with that. And Eddie, I, you know, with what you've gone through, you're a great example to me. And I know what that zombie mentality feels like, because at times too, I still have it. Like if I get a sensory overload and I'm reading too much, I just feel detached almost, where I'm trying to find my center again. That's the beauty of life, is that we all go down different paths. We all have our different challenges, because we're all unique and we're all special, but we all return to that same God. And that is our happy ending, is when we return.
Yep.
And I'm still working on it. We're all working on it, but it's returning with honor and embracing who God sees us to be and wants us to be.
Yeah. I love in your book how it's the chapter where you talk about Job and the lessons that you learned from Job, and reading that, you know, I'm like, I've learned a lot of these same lessons, you know, like it's definitely taken on a whole new meaning for me in my life, reading those verses and everything. And I just, you know, that was just another, like, literally every time I read a chapter in your book, I'm like, oh, this is for me, you know, like I'm selfish in that I wanted you on the podcast because this episode of the podcast was for me, and it's something that I'll be able to go back and listen to and, you know, remember that there is somebody else out there who is fighting forward through hard times and who deals with stuff on a constant basis.
Yeah.
And he's able to do it. And Brandon, if it means anything to you, I'm able to do it if you need to find somebody like that too. So,
but
you know, I'm just,
no, I appreciate that. And, but you know, the concepts are not only did somebody going through hard, you know, trials like we have, heaven forbid, right? But it's even other things. If they're struggling with their marriage, if they're struggling with an addiction,
absolutely. Yep.
I mean, this book is relatable for whatever struggle you're going through, because the reality is that the process is all the same on how we overcome it.
Completely agree.
And you know, there's so many chapters in there. You know, there's a chapter that talks about how pushing through dirty places lead to sickly things, right? And what that means, and you know, it's how I froze to death. And there's a quote that I've coined from this, not in the book, but it's like, when you're struggling in the darkness and looking for a path, take the path that leads you home. And if we can always remind ourselves that is, with whatever struggle I'm facing with, is the decision I'm making, is that the path that's going to lead me home? Well, what is home? It's your goals, what you want to become. And more importantly, it's, where do you want to go? Like, do you want to return back to our Heavenly Father? Of course we all do. So let's make sure you take the path that leads you home towards that. And
I love that. So what would you say to someone who's listening, who might be facing what, you know, either incredible challenges or, you know, any challenge, what would you say to them to just let them know that, you know, you just have to get through it, I guess. What's some advice you would give them?
No pressure.
Sorry.
What I would want them to do is first write down who they are and what they value and what their hopes are, what their dreams are. And I mean, and but be real about that. Like, go and detach yourself from distractions and really commit to yourself in a quiet place. Get on your knees and pray and ask God, ask out of faith, who are you? What is your purpose? And what are your desires? Write those down. And once you get that, then you'll know, okay, that is my true self. And once you have that, you'll have your willpower. And I mention willpower a lot because I push my wills everywhere. So I know what willpower does. And and with my life, and as with all of our lives, is that nothing in life is ever level, nor is it fair. And it was never designed to be. Life was never designed to be easy. It's we're here to be tested in all things. And but yeah. Once you value who you are and know what your purpose is, it makes it so much easier to push through difficult things. And we all have moments where we feel like we lose control. And I still do that too. And whenever I feel like I'm losing control, I always ask myself, when did I let go? And what I mean by that is, mm-hmm. when did I let go of my willpower? Because if I'm pushing outside and if I let go of my willpower, it will immediately send me downhill the quickest way possible, because I'm giving up my control, allowing my circumstances to take me where they go. And so I would just recommend, know who you are, write it down, review it morning and night, what your purpose is, what your goals are. Hold on to that and have that be your faith and hold on to it. Because when you go out in life, you're going to be, you know, going through difficult things. But if you never let go of that, you're going to be able to push forward and eventually achieve your happy ending, like I am. And so that's what I would suggest, is hold on to your willpower. And when I say that, it's W-I-L-L, power, not W-H-E, you know, not the other willpower.
Yeah.
And along those lines, you know, what would you say to a newly quadriplegic person who has just, or paraplegic who's just received that diagnosis? Maybe someone listening, they have someone in their family who, and that's just happened to them. What is there any advice you would like to give to them in particular?
Well, it depends on where they're at in the process of healing. But the advice would be is that you are more than what you see, and that just because you may be physically paralyzed doesn't mean that you're spiritually, emotionally, or intellectually paralyzed. And to learn from your example. And I always tell them that they will always, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when you'll walk again. So when that happens, that's up to God. But in between this short time, sit down, make it look good, enjoy it, and find your purpose in it. And once you find your purpose in it, then you can embrace your light and then be who God wants you to be through it. Because I fully believe that I don't believe in I believe everything was planned. I don't believe, you know, I just from what I've gone through and what I've experienced, I believe that everything was planned. And you go through these things for a purpose that was planned. And it's to benefit. Sometimes it's not always just to benefit you. It's to benefit other people around you. You know, and that's, you know, Eddie, that's I'm talking to you, brother, when I say that. You know, I mean, you've learned a lot, but I guarantee you, your sweet wife and your kids are going to learn a lot more of what it means to truly love and what it looks like for somebody who holds on to their faith and let go and lets go of their fear. It's gonna change the way they look at life. And you know, we all have that capability, and going back to the question of those that have just recently been injured, I always tell them when I was working and when I do see them that they've been called to the advanced study program of life. And many people don't get that calling, and you're one of them. And it's an advanced study program, and basically God wants you to join the special forces and to be the light, because ultimately I fully believe that God calls his most valiant servants through the hardest challenges here, mortality, because he wants his leaders, he wants his generals on the other side to be worthy of it.
Well, thank you. And, you know, for me, like, I just, through my trials, I've come to realize, you know, life really is a short amount of time. Yeah. And it's a really short amount of time for God to be able to teach us stuff. And I think he wants us to learn as much as we can. And that means going through as many hard trials and hard things in life as we can handle, because in the life after this, a lot of those things will not exist. And so being able to understand them in this life, I think, is really important for all of us, you know? So I've kind of come to look at it as, you know, there's a trust God has with me, I guess, in being able to not be overcome by a lot of the challenges I've been able to face. And I don't mean to pat myself on the back or build myself up to be more than I am. It's just, I've realized, you know, that if a difficult time comes, that as you've expressed, you know, let it make you better.
Yeah.
And
embrace it and share it with others who are willing to listen. And I mean, there can only be good that comes from that.
And it's always going to be hard. Brandon, like, and I'm sure you've done it too. You know, there's always moments where you just, you feel, I don't know, maybe not angry, but just bugged by things, you know, and you have to step back and take a deep breath and refocus and remember what it is that you're going through and why you think it is that you're going through it and what God can
teach you. It's so true. It's so true. It's detaching yourself from the carnal mind, right? The natural man, because the natural man is always screaming at us, right, Eddie? Like, come on, you got to be kidding me. Give me a break. Yeah. You know, just give me some peace. But it's detaching away from that and being one, finding our oneness with our soul and with God. And once we're in that sweet zone, it doesn't matter what comes our way, because we know our value. We know where we're going. And these little things that come our way, okay, I'll learn from it. But I know where I'm going because I already see the end in mind.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes you've just got to try and laugh at it as well. Like, I remember when I'm reading about the ATV accident, which is horrible and awful, but then you talk about how you, of course, landed on an anthill and the ants are biting you.
Oh my God, that broke my heart.
Of course. I'm like, you know what? It's not enough that he's like fighting death. Why not have a bunch of ants crawl up and bite him everywhere while he's trying to get through that, you know?
Oh my gosh.
And it's just like, it's little stuff like that that you kind of have to just be like, of course, you know, why not? What else can we throw? Maybe let's give him a cut and he lands on a lemon tree and the lemon juice is going all over the cut. You know, it's like, there's just things that like it's hard, like, but you have to try. I make fun of my conditions all the time, and
we get the giggles.
Oh, yeah, man, laughter is the best medicine.
I'll even make really light about, you know, the fact that it's true that I could pass away, and I'll be like, well, Mary, you know, it's okay. You don't have to worry about it, because I probably won't be here next month anyways, so it won't bug you anymore. But and that's a little darker and probably blacker than I need to be. But, you know, I just...
And that's the thing is, everyone's, like me and Eddie, with whoever we speak to and stuff, and with this podcast, we never want to come across as like, this is the way you grieve.
Yeah.
This is the way you get our time. Because that we don't have the answers. We're not perfect at all. We're just sharing what has worked for us. And so when we talk about this comedic relief, like, I want people to know, obviously, that is not going to be how everyone's going to deal with stuff. And that's okay. We're all different. And that's what's beautiful about life. But for us, sometimes finding comedic relief does kind of lighten things up a little bit, but I think
it's beautiful, and that's what makes you guys' relationship so beautiful, because you can laugh at it together out of love, and I that's awesome. And yes, like with me too, I've got to laugh at things you just have to.
Yeah.
And because if not, then you're going to be a really boring person that no one's going to want to be around.
Yeah.
The
The
Debbie
Debbie
Downer, that's
Downer.
right.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so here's another question that I have. It's kind of like the last one, but it's on the flip side. For what advice would you give to people who maybe know a paraplegic or a quadriplegic and they want to help them, but they also don't want to, like overhelp? I don't know how to explain that very well, but you know what I mean.
Well,
Like,
people
they
ask
want to
us,
be helpful,
yeah,
but they don't
for things.
want to do it in a way that is not beneficial to the
Well,
person. So is there anything that you could tell people on what you felt like was the most helpful things that people did for you in your situation?
yeah, I'm going to ask you a question, that question to you, because I think it's relates to anybody and everybody. Whenever you go through a hard thing and that they know you're struggling, what's the best thing somebody can say? Is it, Eddie, if you just do this, I know it's going to help. Or is it, Eddie, I'm praying for you, I love you, and I just wanted to give you a hug.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. That's the, yeah, that to
The
me, that's the
second
best
one.
thing to say.
Yeah,
Yep.
because sometimes like you may not have the same experiences as people, but you can walk with them through it. And that's, been a big focus for me with our podcast is maybe you don't know what advice to give, because I certainly don't have any like concrete advice to give people about our trials, but I'm willing to listen to their story and walk with them through
That's
it.
the best response you can give to anybody. And for me personally, those are the responses that I love, because I knew that they loved me and I knew that they had trust
Yeah.
in God and in me that things would work out. How? I don't know. And they didn't give me the answers,
Yeah.
which I like, because if they're not their answers to give, it's mine. This is my
Right.
story. This is between me and God. But having, yeah, just having those words of love and just support and a hug. Sometimes a hug
Yeah.
is the best medicine, the best answer you could give anybody. It's a hug, telling them I love you and I'm with you.
Yep.
I love that.
Yeah, and
Yeah,
from a
so true.
scientific standpoint, we as humans need physical contact with one another in order to be healthy and
Except
survive.
now.
So, but
Except
yeah,
now,
except
during
for now,
now
except for
everyone's
now.
like, 6 feet, please,
Yeah.
stay away.
But I think we are going to see an increase in health problems from some people as a result of that as
I
well.
know,
So,
man. Like
who
I'm
knows?
dating a beautiful girl and she's out of state, and I'm like socially isolating. It's not fun.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, I love that you're dating someone. That's so fun.
Tell her I think she is the most awesome person in the world.
Absolutely.
And that she got the gold trophy
Oh, you're
of
very
people to
kind.
date.
I will, Eddie, just let her know that I cannot pay you to say that. Okay?
Yeah.
All
That's
Yeah.
awesome. So, Brandon, just in, we'll wrap things up now, but do you want to share where people can
Yeah,
find
yeah.
your book?
My book, We're All Paralyzed, Remarkable True Story of Choosing to Live After Four Life-Threatening Accidents. It's available on Amazon in all forms, Kindle, book form, audiobook. It's also available in book form, Deseret Book, and Siegel Book. You can reach me at Facebook, at Brandon Sulzer, Instagram, Brandon Sulzer, and yeah, send me a friend invite. Follow me. I'm always posting things that mean a lot to me, and I'm just trying to share my life. And but it would love lo but would love to have you follow me, and yeah, that's where you can find me. So
That's
Awesome. Yeah,
awesome.
Mary's following your
Nice.
Instagram and
Yeah, I love seeing all your quotes that you do, and
yeah.
it's awesome. Well, we're so grateful to talk to you, Brandon. You're just amazing and a light, and we just feel really honored that we were able to get to know you more and hear you personally share your story instead of reading it. It's neat to hear it come from the source author. Itself. Yeah.
I feel like I'm talking to a celebrity right now. That's awesome.
No, Eddie. You know, I really love like it. This Eddie guy. This is good for me to hear this. No, yeah. Oh, I love you guys. You guys are a great example of what, you know, what a great relationship looks like. You guys are side by side in this, and you guys are just, I mean, each other's equal, and it's a great thing to see, and I'm just grateful to be on your podcast, so thanks for having me.
Well, we're more than grateful to have you, you know, and it took so long. I knew this was going to be a great episode because there were so many forces at work trying to stop it, so
for
me, it's definitely, it's going to be probably my favorite episode that we've recorded for a long time, but it's been very personal for me. So
yeah, it's been really good for him and me too. But all right, well, we want to thank Brandon Solcer for being on our podcast, and please make sure to check him out on Facebook, Instagram, and make sure you find his book, We Are All Paralyzed, and everywhere he shared.
That's right. I can't forget about that. It's www.brandonsolcer.com.